Dear Heavenly Father, we are appreciative of this opportunity you have given us this evening. Thankful, Lord, for another chance you have given us to hear your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, for your manservant this evening, Lord, that he preach those things according to your oracles. Pray, Lord, he only teach those things that we can read. Pray, Lord, there was a soul listening this evening who was searching for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have this evening to be able to proclaim your perfect truth to those listeners. Pray, Lord, we are strengthened this evening. Pray, Lord, we understand what your will is. Pray, Lord, someone is willing to obey before it is eternally lasting too late. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We are very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call tonight. And I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. And we're very grateful for every member of the Church of Christ who's supporting us and for our visitors who are the VIPs of our call. We pray that you will open your Bible now and follow along with our speaker as he speaks from the Word of God. If you respect the Word of God, then you'll receive your truth with meekness. It's able to save your soul. Tonight, our speaker is the person, Brother Brock Kendall. Brother Brock is a repeat defender, one of those we brought back on our call more than once. And we are thankful because he has accepted our invitation tonight. Brother Kendall will speak to us tonight from the subject theme being for what said the scripture about. He's going to talk about the one hope. Brother Kendall is a minister of the Harrisburg Church of Christ in Harrisburg, Arkansas. So this time, Brother Kendall, what said the scripture about the one hope?
Amen. We need hope. Friends, if there is ever a time when we need to understand the biblical concept of hope, it is now. Friends, hope is one of the most motivating forces of life. And unfortunately, the society, the world in which we live, doesn't understand that. Doesn't understand what real hope is all about. Friends, I'm here to tell you this evening, without reserve, that in Jesus Christ, this world can have hope. Friends, have you ever seen one who follows the Word of God? One who follows the example of Jesus Christ? Have you ever seen the hope for which they strive daily? Friends, in Jesus Christ, we can have hope. I think about how the sick of this world, and I'm talking about the physical sick, will persevere if there is hope. Those that are unskilled will practice if there is hope. The downcast in this world will press on if there is hope. The farmer will plow if there is hope. You think about the preacher of the gospel, he'll preach if there is hope. Hope is an important force within the Christian religion. You know, the Bible has much to say about hope. The Bible even defines hope for us, and it explains and illustrates hope. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we have listed for us by the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, what we call the seven ones, those things upon which we must be united. But one of those things listed there is hope. There is one body and one spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, even as ye are called, listen to him, in one hope of your calling. Notice that. Singular. There's one hope. One hope. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, our hope, the Christian's hope, is even referred to as a better hope. One might ask, why is our hope or the Christian's hope a better hope? Because our hope is rooted in Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 1:1. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to his young son in the faith, Timothy. He said, Paul, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, listen, which is our hope. Paul says Jesus Christ is our hope. He's speaking to Christians there, those that are in Christ, those who have submitted to the will of God. Those are the ones who have true hope. Those are the ones who understand what hope is all about. Therefore, they persevere through any trial, any tragedy, any tribulation in life because they are sustained by that hope which is found in Jesus Christ. I love how Paul wrote it there in 1 Timothy 1:1 to Timothy. He didn't say that Jesus Christ is a hope. He didn't even say that Jesus Christ is a better hope. He said he is our hope. He's the very essence of hope. Inherently in Jesus Christ, there is hope. One might ask, how can I accomplish this hope? Well, it doesn't come through just knowing Jesus or accepting Jesus. It goes further than that. It comes through an intimate relationship with Him, which is found through understanding and obeying His will. You see, this is where the world misses it. You hear those so-called preachers on TV, they say things like, accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you'll be saved, and then you'll have hope. They'll say things like, say the sinner's prayer, or get down on your knees and just pray hard to God. It's not what the Scriptures teach. There's substance involved when we think about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. I want you to think for a moment about the biblical definition of hope. You know, biblical hope has really three main components. It involves something that is not seen. For instance, hope is not a present reality. For if it was a present reality, there would be no hope. See, that's the idea. Hope is something to be received in the future. That is why we read about those in the Old Testament, those in the New Testament, who strove daily, even under intense and immense pressure, because their hope was planted and rooted in the future. Paul wrote in Romans 8, 24 and 25, notice what he said, for we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. The idea of saved in this passage is being preserved. We're preserved by hope. Hope is what keeps us going daily. And as we mentioned before, it's the hope that is found in and by and through Jesus. But Paul goes on there in Romans 8, 24 and 25, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, Paul tells us that hope involves earnest desire or longing. It even involves eager expectation. Note, when the word hope is used by some, have you ever noticed that expectation is often omitted? For instance, you might hear someone in the world use the term hope very loosely, very flippantly. They say things like, I hope it rains, or I hope that boy changes his life. You see, they omit the idea of expectation and anticipation. Biblical hope goes further than this idea of the world using hope loosely. The biblical definition of hope is illustrated throughout the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 9 through 10, the Bible says, or saith he it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. Notice the agricultural community. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. You see, the farmer is being illustrated here as one who hopes something in the future. The farmer plows and threshes in hope. At first, he cannot literally see. He cannot literally touch his harvest, can he? Well, no. It's in the future. Therefore, he earnestly desires a harvest. He also eagerly expects a harvest. So without hope, he would never plow. And that's the idea, that's the illustration that the Apostle Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Not only does he earnestly strive for a harvest, but he expects it to happen. That's the idea for Christians today. We have a desire for heaven. We have a desire to receive the changed body, given to us by God, of course. We have a desire to be with Jesus for eternity, but we also expect it. We expect it because God said it would happen. And God is one who cannot lie, Titus chapter 1, 2. We trust Him. We're motivated by that hope that He gives us. So it goes further than this idea of hope that is defined in the world. I want you to think about Abraham's hope. look at how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 4:8. The Apostle Paul said, who against hope believed in hope, speaking of Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Think about the context of this statement. It points back to the Abraham's life. Of course, Paul using his example, the great patriarch. Remember, Abraham was told long in advance that he would have a son. Abraham was old and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Yet, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. The idea is Abraham both earnestly, eagerly, fervently desired, and also eagerly expected a son to be born to him in due time because of the promise of God. He trusted in God. That is why he constantly did the will of God, even though it was hard, even though it was difficult, even though questions were asked, even though he possibly had doubts. The bottom line is he persevered diligently, faithfully, and without hesitation. And it was all because of hope. The biblical definition of hope is powerful. It goes much further than just desire. It has expectation, anticipation involved with it. Notice the illustration Paul uses concerning the Church of Christ in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, really through verse 20, the Bible says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Notice how Paul starts off this verse. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? He asks a rhetorical question. Notice that Paul, and we understand, of course, when we reflect concerning the church at Thessalonica, Paul had a great part in starting this church. Paul had preached the gospel to the Thessalonians. As converts, they were now Paul's hope. Now let's think about it. Paul desired and expected to see them stand justified in the last day in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling the church at Thessalonica. He's saying, I desire, but also expect to see you in eternity. I expect to see you stand justified, to be found righteous in God's sight at the last day. I expect that because you're going to follow Jesus Christ just as I have. Some of the things I want you to think for just a moment, just consider. Let's analyze for just a moment some of the things for which we hope. Well, the second coming of Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Friends, what would we do without the hope of knowing that Jesus is going to come back someday to receive his kingdom in the clouds, to receive the redeemed? What would we do without that? You know, when you just turn on the TV, when you listen, when you open up your phones to social media, and you hear people constantly talking about the predicament of our world and the mess in which our world has found itself, do we not need to contemplate and consider more heavily the second coming of Jesus Christ? What an amazing thought. What an amazing hope. So Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also, the Christian, that is, we also hope for our bodily resurrection. One has asked many times the question of what are the details concerning the new, changed, glorious body that we will receive when Jesus comes back. We don't have all the answers, but we know that it will happen. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives us a long discourse correcting all of the misconceptions that people had concerning the changed body. The fact of the matter is, we're going to be like Jesus. That's what we need to consider. That's what we need to know. I think about Acts chapter 23 and verse 6. The Bible says he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee." This is Paul speaking. Notice what he says, "Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question." Thirdly, not only do we hope for the second coming of Jesus Christ and our bodily resurrection, but thirdly, what about heaven? The place of the redeemed. The place that is prepared for a prepared people. In Colossians chapter 1, 5, Paul wrote, "For the hope which is laid up for you," notice, "in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Heaven is a place of eternity with God. It literally is eternal life. You know, that's the idea that the world needs to understand, that not only, and this idea of hope goes even further concerning this idea of a life that Jesus gives, but not only do we hope for eternal life if we're faithful in Christ, but we can hope for an abundant life here and now. I don't have to be distressed. I don't have to be despondent. I don't have to be so anxious for everything, and I don't have to be agitated at life. The Bible tells me in John 10:10 that Jesus offers an abundant life now. I can be happy now. You see, the devil, which is the source of discouragement and the source of sin and all of the violation of God's will that we see, he seeks to remove the joy of godly living from our life. If he can't get us to sin, he's going to try to do that. So we need to turn to Jesus, who gives us an abundant life. A life that is worth living. A life that is worth striving and overcoming the tribulations of life. All because we can hope for eternal life if we live the abundant life properly. You see, in hope of eternal life, which Paul writes to Titus in Titus 1:2, where he says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." I'm amazed that we can believe all of these principles in the Bible, but when it comes to the concept of eternity, we can't. If God can create the world the way he did, then surely he'll keep his promise, but we can live with him in eternity. Now, I want you to think about something else concerning hope. I want you to think about what real hope should do to us and for us. As I mentioned before, in Romans 8:24, Paul wrote, "For we are saved by hope." And hope is what causes us to rejoice. Notice how the Hebrews writer put it, Hebrews 3:6, "Therefore, being justified by faith," or I'm sorry, this is Romans 5:1-2, where Paul wrote, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand," and notice, "and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." One of my favorite passages is found in Romans 8:18, where Paul wrote, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Think about the hope that is found in that passage. We are a people who wants to compare everything to something else. Well, we cannot compare the sufferings through which we are going now to the glory that we will receive in heaven. The glory of heaven is going to be almost too wonderfully to describe, but ultimately it's going to be with God, and that should suffice, and that should be enough. That's our hope. That's the Christian's hope. It causes us, that is, hope causes us to be diligent to the end. If there's anything that this world lacks, and even unfortunately those in the body of Christ, Christians, it's diligence. We're not as diligent as we should be. We're slothful. We're lagging in business. Romans 12:11, Paul wrote, "Do not be slothful in business, but be fervent in spirit serving the Lord." We need to be diligent. The idea of diligence does not only imply being ready, but it also means to do things speedily, with haste, with purpose, having a firm determination, having a fixed purpose, striving for something. We live in an aimless society. There are no aims. People get up and they do nothing. They just live. That's not the way. That's not the kind of hope for which Christ offers us. We need to strive for something, and something that's worth striving for. And of course, that's Jesus. In Hebrews 6:19, the Bible tells us that hope is the anchor of our soul. 1 John 3:2-3, it even tells us that hope is what is the motivating force behind us purifying our lives. Purifying our lives. Now, we need to consider one more thing before the sermon is yours. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul noted three crowning virtues of Christianity. Notice what Paul wrote. He says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity," or love, "these three." You see, but even though hope is available to this world, and it is freely accessible, not all have hope. That's sad. Yes, Christ offers hope. The invitation is to all, but not all have it. Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You know, Paul is speaking in the past tense, writing to those to cause them to reflect on their life outside of Christ before they submitted their will to God's will. He's saying that before you became a Christian, before you were redeemed, forgiven by Jesus, you had no hope. Not only that, he intensifies it by saying you were without God in the world. You see, good hope is obtained by means of grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, Paul wrote, "Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Grace, however, can only be obtained by being in Christ. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. What Paul wrote said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace." Notice where it's located. In Christ Jesus. You see, there's a lot of philosophies being passed around in the religious world about what to do to be saved and about how to get into Christ and how we can be right in the eyes of God. The Bible has something to say about it. And it's not the popular idea. Notice Paul tells us how to get into Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, Paul wrote, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Think about that. Baptism puts us into Christ, wherein we can have access to grace and also hope. Only those in Christ, those who have been immersed in the watery grave of baptism, to have had their past sins washed away, to be raised to walk in newness of life, the Lord adding them to his church, are the only ones who have the kind of hope about which we have been discussing. They understand the proper hope. Their motivation is this hope. Now, once we are in Christ, once we have submitted to the will of God, of being baptized, being added to the Lord's church, becoming a Christian, hope can save us. We can look forward to being presented to God, holy and unblameable and even unreprovable in his sight. Is that not amazing? Me, God will find blameless on that day, unreprovable. Colossians 1:22 tells us. However, this will only be done if we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. For those in Christ, Christians, notice what Paul said concerning our maintenance of our hope in Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Notice the terms he used. Continue, grounded, settled, and be not moved. Where? Away from the hope of the gospel. So, Christian, we need to continue. We need to be grounded. We need to be settled. We don't need to move away from this wonderful hope that is offered to us in Christ. Question. All of our listeners this evening, are you in Christ? For those that are in Christ, have you moved away from the hope of the gospel? You see, friends, I understand in dark times, difficult times, times of hardship, when we're suffering, and some of us may be suffering in a way that I can never understand. Do you not think that in times like this or times like that, we need this hope? We need the hope that only God can offer, and there's only one location in which he will offer it, and it's in Christ. I want it. Don't you want it? Well, we've got to submit to the will of God. We've got to submit to the will of God. His way's better. His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are better than our thoughts. Jeremiah contemplated years ago when Jeremiah 10:23 wrote. So, we appreciate you listening this evening. We hope that this message concerning the one hope will be encouraging to you. We hope that you will take it. We hope that you will apply it. We hope that you will do what the Bible tells you to do concerning this one hope. Thank you.
And thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much for bringing us this message and what the Scripture says about the one hope. And we are so thankful for God that God has provided us this hope that's not being seen, hope that is seen, not hope at all. So we thank God for you for bringing this message to us. And we all are so grateful. Those of us who are members of the Lord's church, we should be edified and encouraged tonight to know we have this hope in Christ Jesus. To those who are visiting on the call tonight, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to understand, we put this call on with you in mind. We don't want you to miss out on this hope. You must be baptized and washed in the blood of the Lamb that the Lord can add you to the true church, the Church of Christ. If you desire to be baptized, we ask you to get back with the person who invited you to our call. Or go to our email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized, or if you desire further studies, we'd make all those arrangements for you. You just email us, get in touch with the person who invited you. We will make these arrangements for you. However, if you want to go back and listen to the message from Brother Kendall tonight, we encourage you to go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there, you go click on sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and all of the flyers are there, all the sermons. It's just the month of May. Plenty of topics there. You go back and study for yourself. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus said, but they are they that testify of me. We want you to go to the Scriptures. We want you to go back and study. Because we want you to be saved. We sure do. We want you to be saved. We thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus the Christ, your Son who gave his life on Calvary's Hill, shedded the blood and washed away our sins and purchased his church, the Church of Christ. We thank you for him, Lord, for his love, for hanging there on that cross for 6 long hours, suffering and in pain. And you saw the travail of your Son. It was him who said he would suffer in Jerusalem. He did. And we know that was the price that was paid to save us. Because he became sin for us. And we know that's by your grace and mercy that we have this hope that we have. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our brother Kendall for bringing a message to us tonight. Thank you for all of our preachers who are volunteering 30 minutes of their time. Bring messages from your word. Continue to bless them all. Bless our effort, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining. Go to our website. Go to YouTube and go to our website. We've got the link to our YouTube. We've got a link to our Facebook. Go ahead and go to those YouTube sites and Facebook. And like us and help us promote the meeting. We would appreciate that so very much. We also start a new program called Nationwide Gospel Truth, NGT. And you can go there, click on that. Check us out. We've got a lot of messages from a lot of ways we're trying to reach out to people, so we appreciate you. And also I want to thank all those who have been sending donations to us voluntarily. We're not soliciting funds, but you have sent it, and we thank you so very much. If you want to contribute, go to our website, go to online giving. The email address is there. You can do it online, or you can just mail it to us. We appreciate you so very much. It's not required, but if you desire to do so, we appreciate you. We will put it to the use for the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. Thank you so very much. It's my pleasure, everybody. Have a good night's rest. Sleep peacefully. Good night.